This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
It's all about living your best life
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Great to have you with us on the Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer podcast. Your chance to catch up with some of our best bits, real life stories and interviews with the experts. So many people here in the UAE have fallen in love with hiking over the course of the 12 months. But how to do it safely and where to go? There's only one person to ask. That's Laura Brown, the founder of Hike UAE. She was on hand to give us some beginner's routes, the essential gear and, crucially, in light of tragedy and rescuing, how to stay safe on the trails. We were in conversation with Ameya Ganika, the author of a book called 23 and a Half Beds. The title alone was enough to have me asking a few questions. And with spring break fast approaching, are you thinking about a staycation, a daycation, or even a vacation further afield? Emily Jenkins from Donato was on hand to talk about the best deals, the latest travel guidelines, and answering your questions too.
Home or away?
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Wonderful to have you with us. We are talking travel this afternoon, and loads of you, and yes, including me, have been hiking recently, taking advantage of that gorgeous weather. It's great, outdoorsy, and yes, socially distanced physical activity. But it's not just as simple as, well, rocking up and winging it. You have to be prepared. We've seen some accidents and tragically, a death recently. A woman collapsed while hiking and later passed away. Plus, numerous rescues that we've been reporting through the ARN News app. So if you are planning to go hiking at any of the UAE's amazing spots, then you are in the right place. Because joining us now, we've got Laura Brown, the founder of Hike UAE. It works with licensed providers offering hiking trips and also loads of info on hikes around the UAE, plus safety tips and where to go. Laura, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me on today.
Pleasure. I absolutely love your Instagram. It's made me think about the UAE in a completely different way. Honestly, it really, really has.
Amazing.
Where did your kind of idea come from for sharing some of your adventures on social media?
Yeah, so I set up my page in 2020 in October, sort of during the middle of the pandemic. And the reason why I set up the page was because I was posting all of my hiking routes on my personal Instagram account. And what I noticed was I was getting loads of DMs from my friends, you know, asking how can they find this hike? Where is it? And there was kind of no one place online where people could find information about hiking. So I kind of just decided to set up a page specifically for hiking where I thought I'll share all of the information I've got, make this kind of information accessible for everyone, to kind of empower people, but to also make sure that people kind of stay safe whilst they're hiking as well.
So can you tell us, where was your most recent route? What have you done over the last week or so?
Yeah, so recently I've done a route at Wadi Nakheb, which is in Ras Al Khaimah. So this particular hike is super popular at the moment. Like, it's absolutely beautiful, but what people don't realize about this hike is it's actually a little bit dangerous because there's zero mobile phone signal when you're on the hike. So if you're not really prepared when you're there, then you can obviously get into trouble very easily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are going to be talking some safety tips as well. What is it about hiking that you love, Laura?
Oh, I think, you know, everyone has really kind of wanted to be outdoors in the last 12 months, right? I think with everything going on in the world, you know, mental health is a huge factor in the last 12 months. And for me, I love being active. I love being outdoors. But it's really important for me as well just to kind of protect my well-being. And the feeling I get when I'm on a hike, you know, out in nature, I just love it. And it's had a really positive impact on my health.
I am with you 100%. It's not, yeah. Yeah, I really am, because I think a lot of us, you know, have been a bit reluctant to travel or simply unable to over the last 12 months. So being able to look at the UAE in a completely new way has actually been really refreshing. And I've been to some certain stores around town to see that it hasn't been toilet roll shortages we've seen in the UAE. It's been like tents and hiking boot shortages. So loads of people getting into it.
So I think as well, you know, people always stick to, you know, the beach clubs and the brunches of Dubai, but there's so much more to see in the UAE. It's just about finding the information. So I'm kind of really passionate on my page about sharing as much as possible to empower people to try something new within the UAE.
I think, you know, mentioning Ras Al Khaimah there, there's some great routes over on the East Coast. For anyone that is perhaps feeling a bit, I'm not sure about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive for 2 hours, any good routes that you recommend that are close to Dubai?
Yeah, so there's there's kind of two particular areas that are relatively close to Dubai. So first of all, you've got Fossil Rock, which is in Sharjah. So it's only about 45 minutes from Dubai. So very accessible, very easy to find. And you just need to be quite mindful on that hike that you're very respectful of the area because, you know, Fossil Rock is kind of an archaeological site. So it's really important not to leave any rubbish or, you know, kind of damage the rock in any way. And then the second hike, which is super close to Dubai, is actually Shalka, Wadi Shalka, which is in Ras Al Khaimah. And it's super popular at the moment, you know, at the weekends, very busy. And I think probably the main reason for that is because it's only about an hour and 15 minutes from Dubai. So it's very accessible. But also for beginners, if you're new to hiking, they actually have kind of paths marked out in the mountains. So it's relatively safe for you to try if you're kind of new to hiking.
We did Shalka a couple of months ago, and I had one big bone to pick, and that was the stairs. The stairs at the beginning of the route. Oh, my days. It ended me. And I'm there with, like, all the gear and no idea, and then there's people in flip-flops overtaking me.
It sounds like you're very prepared. This is good.
We're going to talk about gear now. What kind of kit is essential? Please say no flip-flops, because that's what some of these guys were overtaking me wearing.
Oh my gosh, I know. So yeah, I have seen a couple of people wearing kind of flip-flops or sandals on hikes, which is an absolute no-go. So something I post about on my page is the 10 hiking essentials. And what these are, the kind of core items that you really need to be taking with you to make sure that you have a safe hike. And I guess the kind of the top ones would be always wear appropriate hiking clothing. So obviously, you know, sports shoes at a minimum, ideally hiking shoes or trail trainers is really important. Activewear, so clothes that are going to protect you from the sun, because obviously it's absolutely boiling in the UAE and the sun is very strong, so you need to have appropriate clothing for that. So no jeans, which I've seen before. And obviously, you know, the other essentials are, of course, you know, water, food and your safety items. So I think for me, the most important item is water, especially as the temperatures start to increase in the UAE. That's really the kind of fundamental item. And water actually is, and dehydration in general is probably the biggest driver of a lot of the accidents that are happening at the moment.
Laura, we mentioned earlier about the importance of staying hydrated, especially as the temperatures are going up. And even more crucially, especially if you get lost. We know we can't live without water for very long at all. David's been in touch saying, any recommendations for apps to use, especially ones that don't require data? Anything that you think is worth downloading?
Yeah, definitely. There's an app that I use quite regularly, but I do want to just highlight that we can't or we shouldn't really just rely on apps on our phones. I think it's, you know, now during these days, we all kind of rely on our phone a bit too much. And if it runs out of battery, then we can get into trouble. So what I would always recommend first is kind of, you know, planning and preparing ahead, checking your route before you go, having a really good idea where you're going to go. And then you can actually use an app called Wikiloc, where you can download routes onto your phone that will be there that you can navigate without mobile data or signal. But again, definitely don't recommend just relying on that. Definitely do your research in advance, you know, check your route. If you're a beginner, definitely recommend just sticking to hikes where there's marked trails. So for example, in Jebel J, they've done an amazing job of creating a number of marked trails in lower Jebel J area and upper Jebel J. So I think there's around 6 trails in total. And there's actually a map that you can download from Jebel J website. So you can have that. And then if your phone runs out of battery, at least you still have a way to kind of navigate yourself around the trail.
And on that note, actually, a message here saying, can you recommend a nice hike for a family with kids aged 7 and 9? Hubby has a knee issue, so ideally something without big inclines. Where would you recommend?
Yes. Okay. So one of my favorite trails at the moment is called Samar Trail, which is in lower Jebel J area. So it's one of the trails that is marked. So you can download a map and you can kind of look out for the route markings all along the way. It's great for kids. It's classed as a moderate trail, but if you're active and you're sporty, you'll be fine. So kids will be fine. It's around 6 kilometers in total. So maybe allocate 3 hours. But what I would say is with that trail, it's quite exposed to the sun and it's obviously getting really hot in the UAE now. So absolutely make sure that you have your hat, you have extra water, and you have food supplies as well.
And to add to that, we were in Hatter not last weekend, the weekend before. And if you use Hatter Wadi Hub as a bit of a starting point for family trails, they kind of mark them a bit like ski routes. So they mark them from, you know, green being the easiest, blue, red, black. And we had a nice walk around. It was about 6 kilometres, actually, on one of the green routes. And they saw frogs and all sorts. My kids are quite a bit smaller than that. So 7 and 9. And yeah, you could do the big incline and go up to the Hatter sign, which is, you know, one of the photos that everyone seems to be getting right now. But it is great to see the UAE really kind of stepping up, pun not intended, with these marked trails and making everything feel a little bit more accessible. Laura, what you always tell hikers in your posts, leave no trace. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I'm really passionate around kind of spreading the message of leave no trace. And obviously, I'm kind of promoting people to get out and explore and hike more. But what I don't want to do by encouraging more people to hike is to actually have a detrimental impact on the environment or cause accidents. So leave no trace is 7 principles that are all focused around making sure that we leave the environment as we find it. So, for example, of course, we all need to make sure we take all of our rubbish home with us. We need to make sure that we're very respectful. We don't make noise. So some of the hikes in the UAE, they actually go through kind of local villages or where, you know, locals live. And we shouldn't be going through there being really noisy and disruptive because people actually live there. You know, another example would be if you're camping, make sure that you don't leave any, you know, anything there. You know, take everything.
It
just happens a lot.
It does. We were in Ras Al Khaimah camping at the weekend and I was so disappointed. Honestly, we were on Saraya Island, which is a gorgeous spot. So you've got a kind of a water inlet in the city behind you and then the mountains and in front of you, just the most beautiful beach. And in the middle, we were camping and it was all the trash. It was so disappointing. I had to make sure the kids were wearing shoes all the time, just really paranoid. And I was like, oh, come on, guys, just don't, please, just don't. Or we won't be able to go to some of these gorgeous places anymore.
That's it. If this continues, then unfortunately, we will be stopped from visiting them. It's already happened to a couple of hikes in Fujairah, actually, where the general public aren't allowed to go there because there was graffiti, there was rubbish. So I think that we need to be really aware of the impact we have as humans and just make sure that we minimise it as much as possible if we want to continue going to these places.
I know one of your recent posts teamed up with another page about going hiking with animals. I did not trust my dogs to not run away, one thing. Although they wouldn't survive very long, I've got to say, they're not exactly Bear Grylls material. Were there any accounts you recommend following or even any routes that you think would be great if you've got a particularly adventurous pooch?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's amazing to go hiking with your dog. I absolutely love going hiking with mine. And if you're not very confident, you don't know where to go, there's an amazing hiking licensed group called Dog Venture, which I really recommend you follow when you try their hikes. And they create a really safe environment for you to take out your dog on a hike. If you're not convinced that your dog will be well behaved, then obviously keep them on the leash. And it's really important that if you are hiking with your dog, obviously you go really early in the morning or really late in the evening because it is getting really hot now. And it's kind of the same with kids. You know, you need to make sure that you have enough water for them, enough shade, and just make sure that the hike isn't too long. But one of my favorite hikes to do with my dog is actually Wadi Shalka on a weekday when it's not too busy. At the weekend, it gets pretty busy. And also Hatter as well is quite nice to do with dogs.
Laura, you're a star. Thank you so much. Where can people follow you, check out your adventures and get some great advice as well?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So you can follow me on Instagram. It's HikeUAE.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Hopefully encouraged and inspired some more people to get their hiking boots on. But yes, leave no trace and enjoy every single moment. Laura, have a good one. Looking forward to seeing where you go next.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We love meeting authors, hearing their stories and the stories that they have written too. Meeting the people who can inspire you to read their book and maybe even write your own. Today, I'm joined by Amaya Ganeka, who, aside from being a published author, is a TEDx speaker and a strength coach, amongst many other roles. His book is called 23 and a Half Beds, and it's available now. How are you this afternoon?
Amazing. How are you doing, Helen?
You're really well. I love an amazing. That's a good positive start to the afternoon. I've got lots of questions for you about the book, especially about the name. But before we get to what you've created, let's talk about your life in books, if you don't mind. Can I ask, which book have you reread again and again? You find yourself just going back to?
I love this book called As Tuesday with Mori. I think it's a fantastic book about a teacher's life and how he guides another student. So that book's something which I've read in the recent past, and it's something which I go back to again and again.
And what's on your bedside table right now?
Right now, I have a crazy book called Love, Crazy, Envy.
What's it about?
The book is all about what do we actually love, what are we crazy about, and what are we envious about. Ooh. And I think that's what drives us.
Ooh, interesting concept, actually. Because it can become a bit entangled there. Now, be honest. What was the last book that you stopped reading? We just thought, do you know what? Life is too short for this. I'm just not going to spend my time finishing the rest of it. What did you ditch?
A fantastic book with 600 pages plus, and that is Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow.
Oh.
I reached page number 400, and then it's like, I got it.
I can move on to the next, save myself the time it's going to take to read 200 pages.
True.
Interesting. True. I've heard some mixed reviews of it, so it's good to get your take on it. Is there a book that you wish you wrote?
Is there a book which I wish I wrote or read?
No, that you've written yourself as an author, that you'd love to have your name on the front cover of.
I think I like that question. And I would put it, again, I'll go back to that one book where a teacher, Tuesday with Mori, where he's suffering from a particular disease and he's still trying to help a student on every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And me being a teacher and professor of almost 17 years now, I feel that book is so phenomenal. I wish I could write that book, and not just for the sake of writing, but for the whole process of understanding how we wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
Get inside his mind and read it probably a little more. That's why. I like your question. Thanks, Helen.
It's a beautiful book. I mean, I don't often cry reading. TV, yes. Songs, sometimes. But books don't often bring me to tears. But Tuesday with Mori really, really did, because that relationship between the author, it was just so special. And I think it made everybody realize that everyone has something to share. Everyone's got a message, and we just need to be asking the right questions sometimes. I'd love you to tell us a little bit about your role as a strength coach. What is this job?
I think it's the world's number one job. It's the bestest job one could ever have. And I'm so glad, and I feel so, so amazing that I'm a part of the community which believes in making this world a better place than yesterday, every day.
But how? How do you do it?
Coming there. So genuinely, if you see this, starting with the parenting, usually people are based on weaknesses. A child does something amazingly well, and a parent keeps on telling, this is great, but do this now because that's your weak at. When we go to a corporate life, we have appraisals. And people tell us, you're great at this, great, but focus on this. I'll give you promotion next year. And even in relationships, when you have a partner tells you, you're great at this, brilliant, but work on this, I love you more. And we totally believe opposite of this. We believe on, we can only build on who we are. And we assist people and kids scientifically discover their talents, make them strengths, and reach their potential to the fullest.
That sounds like a completely different way of living in the world in some ways. What do you mean you use science? How does that unfold and how does it work?
So it is a process which involves a psychometric assessment, which is called as Gallup Strength Finder. It is for adults. We also have different tests for the kids. Imagine if when we were kids, Helen, being 14, 15, and before taking the final career choice, we knew scientifically what were our inherent talents. We probably would take a different decision.
We probably would. I think I'd be advised just to watch Friends 24 hours a day and just really nail down all the quotes that I was learning and filling my head with age 14.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
We are featuring another author who can inspire you to read their book, maybe even write your own. Today, I'm joined by Emir Ganica, who, aside from being a published author, is a TEDx speaker, a strength coach, and his book called 23 and a Half Beds is available online now. I am so intrigued by this title. Can you tell us where the idea came from and what it's all about?
Certainly. Everything happens twice, Helen. Once in mind and once in reality. If we do not make it happen in mind, it would never happen in reality. That's what I believed on. I traveled in 2010 for 6 countries, Thailand, Malaysia, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, and Singapore. Traveled for 83 days with absolute no plan, with one trust on unknown. I think unknown is enticing, unknown is amazing, and unknown is so intriguing. And unknown is amazingly amazing. We just never give it a try. Before I give my answer, could I ask you a question? Would that be fair?
I don't know. It depends what the question
is. Quick one.
This is a massive role reversal. I get interviewed for, you know, articles and things, and I end up interviewing the journalist. This is not my comfort zone being asked questions, but I will allow you one question.
I appreciate that. It's just in two parts. First part, how many known people have disappointed you?
Ooh, how many people that I actually know have disappointed me? Ooh, I'd say maybe 30.
Perfect. How many unknown people have disappointed you?
Millions. Millions.
Millions?
Yes.
Who are those unknown people? Tell me, please.
I was just talking earlier about camping at the weekend and how I was disappointed by all the people that had been there before me and left all their trash. I'm often outraged by comments I see or memes that are shared on social media that I just feel like let down whole genders often. Lots of people disappoint me. I've got pretty high standards.
Fair. I just think a bit different. I would put it this way. Everything happens twice. Once in mind and once in reality. If I want to meet a superb, amazing, unknown person, it's possible. If I want to have a very amazing, unknown moment tomorrow, it's possible. Bungee jumping is a very fearful sport, but we call it as an adventure sport because we accept the unknown fear in advance. And life is no different. So the book came in place because of one student who called me in 2010 and said he was going to die because he had last stage of tuberculosis. I didn't know what was his name. He cut the phone call. I tried calling back. I couldn't reach him. And I asked the question, Helen, to myself, if I have 3 months left in my life, what would I do? And my answer was, I would trust everybody, known or unknown, and travel. And that's why journey began. 23 and a half beds. Slept on 23 beds in 83 nights. And I believe what I received was phenomenal, and I could never give it back completely. That's why the half comes in. I'm on the journey of half to give it back what I received. That's why 23 and a half.
So in that time, in 83 days across 6 countries, you ended up staying with what you call 23 unknown angels. So meeting people from all walks of life, and you lived with an orphanage owner, a Russian scuba diver, a minimalist, breast cancer patient, vegetable seller, blind violinist. I mean, I think it takes a certain person to embark on that kind of adventure, to not feel nerves or any kind of reticence about not having a plan. Are you normally a planner? Was this going against your normal way of being in the world?
Initially, I was a very good planner, and I realized there are also plus and minus in planning. But the moment you start trusting the unknown, I think unknown starts trusting you. It's unbelievable unless we start living it. If you believe magic isn't real, the real way to experience magic is by trusting the unknown person, unknown amazing tomorrow, and unknown super amazing day after tomorrow.
I love
it. You only have two options.
So it sounds like you are definitely a positive person and choose to maybe not see the good in everyone, but certainly to expect that there is good around every corner, that there's possibility and opportunity, adventure and magic. And when you came back from your travels, is that something you've been able to incorporate into your normal daily corporate life even?
Absolutely. You'll be surprised. I work as the corporate trainer for several companies here. I also work as a Gallup strength coach across. Initially, when I started this organization, Orange Zebra, it was very simple. I've given out blank contracts, Helen, and I've received 10 or 15 times the amount I was expecting. Life is amazing. People are fantastic. We have two options, like I was saying. One is to be happy, and second is to be happy. It's our choice.
Oh, we need more of you in the world, Mike. We do, especially right now, honestly. What was the process of writing the book like? Did you keep a diary when you were on your travels, or was it all based on memory?
There was a book maintained, which I lost, of course. There was a camera maintained, which broke in the journey.
Of course.
It took me 10 years to write this book. And this is 2010 to 2020 has been the journey. And I'm very glad because I could live with all of them for 10 years practically. Mm-hmm. So the experience did not end in 83 days. It continued for years. and each of them have been very inspiring.
Do you feel like do you feel like every person that came into your life during that time had something to share with you, something to a message or a knowledge?
A huge message, Helen. I'll just quickly share one small part. The Cambodia, the country of the places people visit there for many reasons, touristic reasons to see the country, to click photographs. I was young by then, wanted to click a photograph. Early morning, reached 4 o'clock to click sunrise. There were more people than my thoughts in mind to click the sunrise. And after some time, saw a lady far away. She looked pregnant. It was pitch dark, 4 in the morning. After some time, she was far, but we were having a conversation. We asked her, me and a friend of mine, "Where is your husband?" This is 4 in the morning. We could not see her. She was far. 3 kids, and she was begging. She was a beggar. "Where is your husband?" And Helen, the answer she gave changed my life. She said she doesn't know. And then asked more, Helen, she said she doesn't know because she was blind.
Oh,
Helen,
it's got goosebumps.
It changed the way I looked at my life. The unknown lady taught me a message, which her parents tried teaching me for 27 years. That how blessed we are, how many times have we thanked for having eyes, and the fingernail, and the joint, and the movement we can make of a hand. Unknown person can actually teach you so much more than known. It just, you know, to have a belief, we will meet those people who can teach us.
It sounds like
I hope that makes sense.
It does, and thank you for not just sharing what the book is all about, but also sharing your philosophy on life and having that open mind and that open heart. And I'm not sure all of us would perhaps go on 83 days of travel with no plans, but certainly could be looking at the world in a different way. What's the best way of finding out more about you and the book as well, Maya?
So I have a website, which is www.orange-zebras.com. And there's also a book website, which is 23andhalfbeds.com.
Thank you
on
so,
both of them,
so
I'm
much.
Available.
Really appreciate your time today. And I think we'll all go into the weekend thinking about things in a slightly different way. As I said, let's all be a bit more Amaya. Have a good one. Thank you so, so much.
Home or away.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Spring break is coming up. I think a much needed break for lots of overtired students and teachers. So many of you thinking about going away on a holiday. If you've already made plans like me, let me know. I'd love to know where you're going. Did you get a good deal? To give us a few tips, holiday suggestions and some great deals as well is Emily Jenkins, Head of Leisure at Donata. How are you, Emily?
I'm fabulous. Thank you, Helen. How are you doing?
Fabulous. I love that. Yeah, I'm pretty fabulous too, actually, I have to say. I think this week's gone super fast. We're going to Ras Al Khaimah this weekend.
Nice.
We've been camping for the last 2 weekends, which I love. But I need a bit of hotel action.
kicking it up a notch this weekend then.
It's about balance. It's about balance. I think sleeping bags are great, but not every single weekend. So we're heading to Ras Al Khaimah to the Waldorf Astoria, which is one of my favorite hotels. It's got a lovely beach, it's got a great steak restaurant. We're going to go for a hike in the morning and just be out and about and enjoy being out and about while the weather is kind. That's this weekend, and then don't come at me on the text line. Don't hate me. We're going to the Maldives for a bit of a break over the spring break.
Exciting.
It's the first time we've been with the kids. We got a great deal. And I suspect it's probably going to be our holiday of the year. I think we're probably going to stay in the UA over the summer. So we've been saving our dirhams and we're going to go to the Maldives. We're staying at the Holiday Inn in Kanduma, which is obviously not like the kind of mega luxe, but it looks super family friendly. They've got a full board option and it's just a speedboat from the airport, which I think with kids is probably the key one. So let's have a think about that when we think about spring break. And a lot of people obviously need to build in some potential quarantine time when they get back, whether that's for school or for their office. So what is a kind of some options really for that 4 or 5 day holiday? That's what we're talking about this afternoon. Any questions for Emily, get in touch. Now, let's look at the Maldives, actually, because my husband just asked me this morning. He's like, what's the crack with PCR tests? What do we know about the rules right now?
Sure. So in terms of heading to the Maldives, there are no quarantine requirements on your way into the Maldives, provided you present a valid negative COVID-19 PCR test certificate that was taken no more than 96 hours before arrival in the Maldives. So as long as you've got that, then you're fine. All travellers as well must complete and submit a health declaration form online within 24 hours of their flight. So this is very easy to do. We did it last year when we were heading to the Maldives. Once you've completed that, you get a QR code, which you just show at check-in for your flight, and then again at immigration. Then obviously you just need to make sure that you've confirmed your plans for when you get to the Maldives so that you have a hotel reservation for your stay.
Okay. All right. Seems pretty doable. I'll hand all the admin over to Mr. Farmer and just turn up to have my nose tickled, hopefully. With kids and PCR tests, what do we know about that? Does that tend to be resort specific, or have the Maldives made some general rules about under 12s, or you know what ages need to be tested?
Yes, so most of it's varied across the different destinations in terms of age limits for requiring PCR testing. So with the kids, I believe that if under 12s don't require that PCR test.
A great question from Sharon saying, can kids do a saliva test instead of nasal swab for Fly Dubai? We're going to Georgia. Oh, you lucky thing. I spoke to my doctor about this last week, Sharon. She's at King's, and she said that yes, they can, but you need to specify when you book that it's going to be a saliva test. What are you hearing about Fly Dubai? Presumably it's the negative result that you're looking for rather than the method of testing.
Yes, it is. I know most of the airlines had come out and said that they required the nasal swab PCR, but for Fly Dubai specifically, I'm not 100% on that answer, but by the end of the show, I promise I can have that for you.
You are a superstar. Right. Well, I'll have a song ready for you so you can get onto your fellow experts. Now, we know here in the UAE, more than 52% of people have now been vaccinated, and we definitely seem to be gaining confidence in terms of travelling overseas. What are you observing at Danata in terms of either bookings or even looking online?
Sure. So, we've been seeing confidence for overseas travel has increased, especially since about the end of February, the start of March. A lot of destinations growing in popularity that we've seen is the Seychelles, Sri Lanka, Jordan, Kenya and Tanzania. The Maldives has obviously continued to prove to be a really popular holiday choice. We've seen this the confidence just boosted in the last few weeks, particularly, provided that travellers are obviously taking all the right precautions and following, local COVID-19 guidelines. Travel right now does have a lot of advantages. Mm-hmm. Not only are prices really good, but you do have the opportunity to go to some of the world's most iconic destinations with a lot less people around, which I think can be an amazing experience and something to treasure.
And we've seen the airlines responding as well. Emirates is now offering, I think, 28 flights a week to the Maldives and really keeping up that appetite. So great to hear that more people are in a position to get out and about. So if you are going away for spring break, it could be locally, it could be internationally. We'd love to hear where you're going. Send us your travel inspiration. You mentioned Seychelles there, really attractive holiday destination. I cannot reveal anything this and tune in on Sunday for more. But what is the latest travel update there when it comes to being open to tourists and what we need to know?
Sure. I'm personally very excited about this because I want to go to the Seychelles next month for a holiday. So from the 25th of March, the islands of the Seychelles are reopening to tourists from around the world with no quarantine requirements. Mm. So it means that these requirements have been lifted and movement around the islands is permitted. Previously, I'm not sure if you remember last month, they had made an announcement that travellers who had taken a complete dose of the COVID-19 vaccine would be allowed free movement throughout their stay. But now they've opened it up to all travellers, regardless of whether they've been vaccinated or not. So, but that's from the 25th of March onwards. So there still are, you still need to, do the usual requirements in terms of presenting that negative COVID-19 PCR test 72 hours before departure. And you are required to have a valid travel health insurance policy. You also need to submit your negative PCR test results and your flight and accommodation booking details through a designated portal that they've set up just so that they are checked before you arrive. So It means it's open, and I think without the quarantine requirement or restriction, it will be another popular destination.
Sure, it will. I want to come back to Sharon's message asking about saliva tests for kids for going to Georgia, saying she rang the airline today and they didn't know whether kids could do a saliva test. Surely they should know. Sharon, do not fear. Emily will have an excellent contact at the airline and we will figure it out for you. And if you can't tune in, we'll reply to you separately, so don't worry. She's saying she's feeling a bit frustrated. We need to have these things, this knowledge, in order to have the confidence to book. I'm with you because my kids have had nasal swabs just through school and close contacts and things. And it's not a pleasant thing to put them through. And Ivana's, thank you for this. She's saying, I've just come back from the Maldives. Worth mentioning that you need a PCR test to come back and it costs $150 per person. So best to keep in mind is it definitely adds up for a family of four. Thank you. I will put that into my budget. Now, I'm really scared to ask this question, Emily. Mm-hmm. But what happens, and bear in mind, I am fully vaccinated, as is my husband. And Maldives, in terms of islands, seems like a pretty good bet in terms of controlling who comes on and, safety precautions once you're there. But what if someone does get COVID? Do they have to stay and who pays for that?
Sure. So most of the hotels, in the Maldives have all set up really good contingency plans for this. So if you do test positive whilst you're in the Maldives, you will be, they have an allocated area on most of the islands, so certain rooms, which you will be put into quarantine in that room for 14 days. In terms of what happens then is that most of the islands, again, have a doctor that come and check every day. They'll continue to monitor you, make sure you get food and all of the other service that you need.
Suntan lotion.
Exactly. So that you can continue to, still have a relaxed time whilst you're there. But in terms of the payment, if you are at the moment, if you're flying with Emirates and Fly Dubai, they do have a multi-risk travel insurance, which comes as part of your ticket. And I know within that it does cover, there is an allowance in there for, I think it's US$150 per person per day to cover the cost of quarantine.
Good to know.
And that's built in as part of your ticket.
I might not come back. All right, brilliant. Emily, thank you so, so much. Maldives, questions coming in for you, Emily. One here saying, do we have to quarantine in Abu Dhabi for 10 days if arriving from the Maldives, but we are a Dubai or other Emirates resident? What's the latest guidelines?
No, you don't. If you are a resident of another Emirate, if you're flying with Etihad, they have a transfer as well that brings you all the way back through to Dubai. So as long as you land and get straight on that from Abu Dhabi to the other Emirates, then there's no quarantine requirements. It's based on the Emirate that you live in, not the Abu Dhabi requirements.
Good to know. And a question from Christian saying, we're new to the UAE. Welcome, Christian. Thank you for finding us. Saying, we're looking for a ski trip in the next few weeks, a last-minute deal. Is there anything around Armenia, Lebanon, Georgia? Thank you. Friends actually just flown to Armenia today to go skiing. I didn't know that this was an option. Are there anything around that you'd recommend? It's getting a little bit late in the season.
Yes, that was what I was about to say, was I can't guarantee the level of snow. However, I know Georgia has excellent skiing and you can go up to Gedari and I know Kazbegi that way. They've got some great options up there in terms of accommodation and resorts, and it's really affordable. I believe that their ski season usually lasts till about the April time. Both Georgia and Armenia are currently open for tourism, so there's no quarantine required and there are direct flights. The only thing I would just say about Georgia is that there are still some local curfews and a few other restrictions just in terms of what's happening with, restaurants not being open and some other bits and pieces like that, so that when you're there it may not be as easy. But I believe that they were looking to relax some of those from about the end of March onwards.
And staying with Georgia, Eric's question, saying, just a query about the COVID-19 insurance cover to Georgia with Fly Dubai. In the case of getting COVID, does the insurance also then cover the rebooking costs of the return flight? Good question. When you get onto your Fly Dubai contact over the when we have a song coming up, Emily, would you mind asking that as well? Or do you know off the top of your head?
Sure. So I believe that you are covered for cancellation if you contract COVID-19 before departure, if your trip is cancelled or cut short due to a few, like bits and pieces around COVID, then you there is also an amount in there that will cover that as well. So if you either need to return home, or if someone that contracts COVID that you're travelling with, so there is coverage within that. But I'd need to have a look at what the specifics are. I believe it is on both of their websites as well, or one of our Dinas travel agents can help with that.
Emily, thank you so much. Emily, you've just returned from Jordan. Tell us about your stay there. First of all, where did you go?
Yes, so we had a week, excuse me, in Jordan. We went to Amman, so into the capital, and we visited the ancient cities of Jerash and Petra and spent some time out in Wadi Rum Desert.
I just packed it in then. Good for you. There is a 10 o'clock curfew, is that right? How did it feel when you were there?
Yeah, sure. So, I couldn't recommend enough going to Jordan at the moment. One of the things which I think really made it so easy for us is because we booked it through, obviously, through Danata Travel, and the team that we use in Jordan just made it so easy. So things like the 10 o'clock curfew really wasn't that much of a bother to us, in terms of the fact that firstly, I felt like I walked about 20 kilometres a day, because obviously we were climbing up Petra and going everywhere, so I was in bed well before that. But just having the insights and advice from our local guide who travelled with us throughout, he just knew, you know, where to go, where to have dinner, you know, what the rules were. But it's very much, in Jordan, feels a lot like Dubai at the moment, where, you know, we're following the same rules around wearing a face mask, you know, social distancing, and, you know, everybody was still out and about and getting on with their lives, but following the rules on the ground.
It does sound like booking, as you say, a kind of a package of sorts, where you've got an itinerary put together, you've got a guide, you know, visas and PCR testing's all pre-arranged, just to take some of the headache out of it. Now, you've got a few options when it comes to going to Jordan. You can do the kind of a bit of a camping glamping, or you can do a five-star, you can do a mix. I understand that you stayed at the W in Amman, which sounds amazing. What was it like?
It was wonderful. I think the hotel's only about 2 years old, so it was beautiful. It was new, had some fantastic restaurants in there. The staff were amazing. It's a beautiful hotel, and I highly recommend it. It was good as well in terms of we could walk down to Rainbow Street and to other places in Amman to have a look and to go to restaurants. So that was awesome. And I mean, we did also go glamping in Wadi Rum. So we did, you know, both ends of the spectrum.
High low.
Which was good.
So let's talk money, Emily. Any good deals around? I know you've got the Wonders of Jordan holiday package. Can you break it down for us, including the cost?
Sure. So with the Wonders of Jordan holiday package, you get 2 nights in Amman, 1 night in Petra, which includes your entrance fees and local guide into Petra itself for the day. You have 1 night glamping in Wadi Rum, 1 night staying in the Dead Sea. You get a 2-hour jeep tour throughout Wadi Rum Desert while you're staying there. And then the cost also includes your visits to Jerash and then the Al Marwa Wildlife Reserve and the Ajlun Forest Reserve. And then so you get all of that included. This is 5720 per person, which also includes your return economy class flights with Royal Jordanian Airlines, all accommodation, and your private car transfers throughout. So it's, you know, the driver local guide that's with you. The other really great thing about booking it this way is that they arranged all of our visas on arrival for us before we left. So we landed at the airport, and that was good to go. And then in terms of the PCR testing, that was all sorted as well. So we had someone come to our hotel on the last day and do the testing, which was required to get back into Dubai.
All right. So it sounds much more straightforward than I was expecting. Brilliant. And we heard earlier from Sharon, who was asking about saliva testing for Fly Dubai if kids are travelling. Do we have any answers?
Sure. So just to clarify a few things with this. So the going into a country has got different rules than coming back into Dubai. So at the moment, in terms of the saliva testing, I believe it was into Georgia, she was asking. the guidelines are not 100% clear on this in terms of our immediate channels, but typically PCR testing is the most widely recognised by destinations, and at the moment, from what we can see, the only form of certificate accepted for travel where this is a requirement. So I believe going into Georgia at the moment that the saliva testing is not accepted. We will do some more digging around on that this afternoon, and we can come back and get in touch with Sharon.
Thanks, Emily. I'll pass on her number. And we also heard from Eric as well about the insurance.
Sure, yes. Yeah. So if we can go back to Eric on that as well, it's all on the updated on the Fly Dubai website in terms of exactly what is included with that. But there is a lot. There is money in there for you can claim if your trip is cancelled due to contracting COVID-19. So there's a lot more detail about that on there, which we can also send to him.
Brilliant. Thank you, Emily. Question from Leah saying, can Emily share any details of mini breaks in Israel? Is it possible to visit yet? Costa Tel Sol, what do we know? Obviously, huge changes over the course of the last few months in terms of business. But what about leisure? Is it too soon to go, Emily, or is there anything that we can have?
So Israel is currently closed at the moment to anyone except for Israeli residents and citizens. I know that Fly Dubai had started the direct flight, which is currently being paused, but I believe it's looking to start again either next week or the week after. However, we haven't had any confirmation yet as to when Israel will reopen borders to us.
Okay. We will, of course, keep you posted, guys. Incredible destination. My goodness, you know, Mediterranean city. Just, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there over the course of the next few months and years for destination from here in the UAE. Now, Emily, you are privy to some crazy travel deals. And I know there's lots of destinations and lots of deals around, but we've only got time to maybe mention two. So have a look through your notes, have a look through the website and tell us the best deals around that you think will absolutely fly off the virtual shelves.
Okay. So I think that a Zanzibar spring break getaway.
Oh, sounds nice.
We have the 5-star Sea Cliff Resort and Spa. So there's 3 nights there in a garden room on half board, which includes your breakfast and dinner daily, and return economy class flights. And that is only 2,795 dirhams per person.
That's good. I think I spent that on getting the dog's teeth cleaned last month. Never mind a 3-night stay in Zanzibar. Wow. And that's great. So 5-star, 3 nights half board, including flights for less than 3,000 dirhams per person.
Yes. And you can upgrade to all-inclusive from 680 dirhams per person. And it's such a beautiful resort. There's an infinity pool overlooking the Indian Ocean. It's set on a cliff edge and is only about 25 minutes from Stone Town. And I know it's really family-friendly. There's, you know, horseback riding, kids club, you know, 5 different dining options and a spa.
Okay, you've impressed me. We've got time for one more, Emily. Is it going to be local? Is it going to be far-flung? Give us your best deal.
I think we go local. I think a top offer, which we're seeing flying off the shelves at the moment for Fujairah, is the 5-star Fujairah Ratana Resort and Spa. So they have an all-inclusive offer there in a classic balcony garden view room for just 425 dirhams per person.
All-inclusive. So,
yeah, all inclusive. And again, they've got, I think, 6 different dining options, 2 swimming pools, kids club. You know, there's a really beautiful private beach. And one thing which I think you and I both love is, you know, you're sitting underneath the mountains on one side and that beautiful beach on the other.
And there's the beach in Fujairah is just so beautiful. We went to Fujairah last summer for my birthday and just like big crashing waves. It's proper sea. Absolutely loved it. So that's the Fujairah Ratana 5-star, 425 all-inclusive. Brilliant. You are a superstar, Emily. Thank you so much. Message here saying, what was the name of the resort in Zanzibar? It is called the... Tell me.
Sea Cliff.
Sea Cliff Resort and Spa. So any questions, send them over. Obviously, donatatravel.com is the website where you can find all this and more. And we'll pass on Sharon and Eric's details to you about their upcoming trip. Emily, thank you so much. Really appreciate all your insights.
Thanks for having me, Helen.
Was amazing. I might be in the Maldives next time you're on the show. Again, please don't come at me on 4001. But we are really looking forward to reporting back on that because a great time to travel, some brilliant deals. And as you say, good time to go and get some ice, you know, some nice calm photos on the beach with not many other people around. So thank you again.
Absolutely.
Have a good one. Appreciate it, Emily. So it's sonatatravel.com to find out any of those deals.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's been great to have you with us for the Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, we are live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Sunday to Thursday between 2 and 5pm. Your chance to connect with amazing experts from the UAE and beyond, hear real life stories, and to get your questions answered too. Don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars, please. It helps boost us in the ratings, helps other people find us, and of course, subscribe so it comes straight to your phone.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.